Well, today we are carrying on with our Realign series. This is our third month that we've been on this. I hope so far that those who have been on the journey with us have found it helpful, found it challenging maybe. We haven't had any complaints, so that's a good thing. But time is still, you know, we're still in the early stages, so we'll see. We'll see. But it's a wonderful opportunity for us to really speak into a lot of the concerns that we've been seeing in and around the culture around us. And as God's people, it's important that we, hence the title, realign ourselves back in line with what God says in his word. Not what culture says. Not what our TVs and our politicians and the whomever around us is telling us we should think or how we should act, but what does God say? What does God say? And that's why we've been doing this. And today we're looking at the origins of man and woman, which is a subject, I'm very sad to say, is one that is hotly debated in today's culture. Hotly debated. So if you've got your Bibles with you, please turn with me to Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible. Praise God. And we're just going to recap, not the whole of creation, but the pinnacle of creation. So we go Genesis 1, starting at verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you've given us this opportunity to travel through this realign study. Lord, such an important study to really challenge every one of us and help us to realign not to what we want, what culture wants, but to what you want. And what you call us to. But we recognize and understand, Lord, that some of these subjects and some of these things that we will be discussing are not easy. Not easy. And they can be very personal to us. And I just pray this morning, Lord, that you meet every single one of us where we are. Lord, please give us ears to hear, but also soft hearts in order to hear your word. Guide us, teach us, strengthen us, and equip us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, in the beginning, man and woman was perfectly and harmoniously created by God with the physical and biological attributes to function on the earth as God intended. Psalm 8 beautifully summarizes the status of man and woman in God's eyes. And I'd encourage you to read the whole of Psalm 8 if you've never done so before, because it ties in wonderfully to what we're reading and looking at today. But it says from verse 4, "What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them." you have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. Praise God. Praise God. But since that tragic moment when mankind fell from grace, not only was the relationship between humans and their creator broken, and not only has the harmonious relationship between man and woman been affected, but also how we view ourselves and also how we view creation. It's all been affected. It won't take long looking through a history book to see that humans have abused the world around us, believing that we own the world and we answer to nobody. And as a result, we see the impact of pollution and the depletion of all the resources that God so generously gave us all. It won't take you long to see the diabolical abuse of patriarchy over the years and the belittlement of women that have happened as a subsequent of that, and the diabolical mistreatment of those from other countries and cultures and those who have a different colour skin to us. It's tragic. And what will those in the future who look back to our time think about the ideologies being promoted? Ideologies that cause people to no longer identify as male and female anymore. Ideologies that the Bible clearly says is a choosing to rebel against God's original design in creation. I mean, go into the community and ask, what is a man? What is a woman? And see what people out there will say. Go into a university and ask that question. Into a college and ask that question. Go into a school and ask that question and see what you will hear. For most of human existence, it was understood that there were two genders, male and female. But in this land of confusion in which we live, there are now an estimated 107 different genders that someone can identify as. Our society is straying way too far away from God's original design and purpose for his created human creatures. And if we, his people, don't with love and grace, and I want to stress that again, with love and grace, realign ourselves back to our purpose for existence, then how do we hope to model and show a confused culture God's original and perfect plan in love, with caring, in a sensitive and a Christ-like manner? So with that being said, there are three primary areas that I'd like us to explore today, and we'll carry on with this both in our home groups this month and also with our Going Deeper session in a few weeks' time. These three areas emphasize God's original plan for human flourishing and for human blessing. And the first is this. Man and woman were made in the image of God. Man and woman were made in the image of God. In our passage today, we read that God's perfect design meant man and woman were the pinnacle of creation. But it's more remarkable than that. Remarkable and special. Because unlike the rest of creation, man and woman were made to reflect the image and character of God. That's special. In our passage, verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him male and female. He created them. This is a statement that is very exclusive. Very exclusive and very unique. There is no other created creature in God's creation. Say that quickly. There is no other created creature in God's creation that is blessed with this gift of being made in the image and likeness and resemblance of God. It is a statement that proclaims that God and God alone created humans, not random chance or blind, meaningless forces. God. And though we were formed like clay from the dust of the ground, it is by his breath, Scripture tells us, the Ruach of God, that we have life. And we were formed with certain attributes of God that the rest of creation do not have. Grace. Mercy. Goodness. Truthfulness, rational thoughts and morality, attributes of God. It might surprise you to know that this word image in the Hebrew is where we get this word idol from. Idol. And one of the primary purposes of idols was to be a physical representative of a deity. Just go all the way back into the Old Testament, you'll see idols everywhere. Now, we don't ever want someone to worship us. God forbid. God forbid. But intertwined in our DNA was and is our being the physical representation of God within creation. If you will, to be the link from creation to creator. As an example, on your phone, I'm sure that many of you have got photographs of, I don't know, somewhere, a place that you're, a happy memory, or a place that you went on a holiday that you just want to try and capture and bring back with you. That image is a visual representation of that moment, of that place, that helps to remind you of it, is it not? So it is with original man and woman. We were created to display, to reflect, to communicate who God is, how great he is, praise God, and what he is like within the whole of creation. John Piper says this, it's like being created like a 45-degree mirror with the clear reflective side pointing upwards so that as God shone on it, it would bounce off at 90 degrees and be reflected out into the world. That was John Piper's depiction of what this looks like to him. And I tried my best to bring my art, you know, my art attack days into, you know, Neil Buchanan's, he'll be proud of me, I think, just to try and give you a bit of a visual picture of that. But then we come to our second aspect of this today. The man and woman were made to take responsibility. Man and woman were made to take responsibility. You see, what's remarkable is unlike the created order of other creatures in creation, man and woman were given unique responsibility. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Here we see that both man and woman had two straightforward primary responsibility in relation to the newly created world. Our first responsibility was to populate the earth. Now, God could have easily populated the earth with humans himself, couldn't he? He could have just, boom, there you go, there's a billion people on the planet. But he chooses man and woman to support him in bringing life into this world. He gave man the seed of human life and woman the means to nurture human life. But it is only God who brings the human to life and formed who we are, our individuality and our characteristics. As Psalm 139 says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Praise God. There's never such a great verse if you are someone who feels that you are not worthy, that no one cares about you. Just read that verse. You are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. That should bring us comfort, even if in this world we get none. Now, you could say, but God gave all the animals the right to the right biologics to produce as well. And yes, you would be right, but it's to humans that God gave the unique ability to teach children to faithfully serve the Lord and be faithful to him. That is only to humans, which is the chief reason, is it not, for mankind's existence? To bring glory to God, to praise our Creator, and as we have seen, be co-workers on the earth with him. With him. Deuteronomy 6 paints this picture. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." You should recognize this next verse. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command to you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise." Yes, this is talking about children, our biological children, but it also extends, I would argue, to us as a church family, with all of those incredible children are upstairs. Because we all have a responsibility to teach them and guide them, to nurture them and love them alongside their parents. The second original responsibility was to subdue the earth and have dominion over creation. What does that mean? Well, simply, to have dominion is to rule, to dominate, if you will. Words, I think you would agree, that in our day and age, people don't like hearing and like saying. Go back to God's original plan. They weren't bad words. We've created them to be bad. To have dominion is to rule, to dominate, and to subdue is to bring into subjection, into bondage. So as human beings, our original purpose was to rule, to manage, and to tend to creation on behalf of God as his image bearers in the world. Rule on his behalf as he would have done physically. been given the responsibility to act as stewards of God's creation, to care for it. We don't do a very good job of that, do we, as humans? To care for it, to manage it, to oversee it, and to protect it. Yeah. Not in a selfish, domineering, egotistical way like we see many people today in our culture who have responsibility and power. No, that's not what God is saying. We are to do so in a righteous and loving way, just like God is righteous and loving with us. There's no negativity in this, not originally. It was beautiful and harmonious. Which brings us to the third point. Men and women were made for harmonious relationship. Men and women were made for harmonious relationship. If you were with us last month, you would know that we explored how the Trinity, how Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were in perfect harmony together in what Tim Keller called this divine dance, which I think is just a wonderful explanation of that. A divine dance, each fulfilling their role and responsibility in relation to creation and humanity. Not reluctantly or bitterly, but each in a self-sacrificial and loving way, placing the needs and the will of each other first. So it stands to reason that if we were made in the likeness and image of the triune God, then we too were created to not only dwell in perfect harmony or harmonious relationship with God and with each other, but also to fulfill our responsibilities with the same self-sacrificial and loving attitude. Is it not? In Genesis 2:18, we see this beautiful union of man and woman come together. Then the Lord God said, "It's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." You see, the situation with Adam being the only human on the earth was imperfect. It was imperfect to the point that God wasn't able at this point to say it was very good. This was before God could say it was very good, because woman hadn't been made yet. There was something about man that was lacking. So when no creature already in creation could be found that was suitable for Adam, we read a few verses on in Genesis 2:22 that the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Now the word helper here in this verse does not mean, and this is one thing that has grated me for many years, it does not mean inferior. It does not mean slave. It does not mean servant or lower than man. But it has been used in all of those different ways. It means one who supplies strength in the areas that man is lacking. Let me say that again. It means one who supplies strength in the areas that man is lacking. That is why God wasn't happy for man to dwell alone. Eve completed that part of Adam which was lacking, and thus together produced the perfect union, the first marriage and the model for marriage between one man and one woman. One man and one woman. A subject that we will look at next month. So come back if you want to delve deeper into that. This is further supported by the place on Adam's body from which God took the bone. Have you ever noticed this before? He didn't take it from the foot so that man could trample over woman. He took it from the side to represent this unifying partnership. Unifying partnership. But there is another part of God's original plan for harmonious relationship, which because of the fall has become a very controversial subject in many spheres. And that is male leadership. Male leadership. See, in Genesis 2, God placed the primary leadership responsibility in the union of marriage and later in the family on Adam. We see this in relation to how God created Adam first and gave him alone the responsibility of naming all the animals, and also including his wife, Eve. And how God gave Adam the rules of the garden, i.e. that the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was not to be eaten. But this is further supported when God held Adam responsible for Eve eating the forbidden fruit, which caused sin to enter in the human heart. Why did God hold him accountable? I'm glad you asked. Because it was Adam's responsibility to not only ensure that Eve knew the rules, but also to protect her from the cunningness of the serpent, which he failed to do. He failed to protect her. Now, next month, we will look at this in more depth when we focus on the whole area of marriage. But for now, there are two points that I would like to clarify. I'd like to get it out of the way. Okay? Two points. Within Scripture, there are only two environments which male leadership is biblically warranted, i.e., where you can find biblical scripture to support this multiple times. Only two places: marriage and the church. Marriage and the church. Husbands are called to lead their wife and family, protecting them, loving them, and caring for them. And wives are called to willingly surrender to their husband's leading, but only if he is leading biblically. Only if he is leading biblically. We'll delve into this a lot more. And likewise, according to Scripture, men are to lead as elders in the church, caring for the church, teaching the church, or having the primary responsibility of teaching the church and protecting the church, and both women and men. Women and men in the congregation are called to willingly surrender to the eldership of that church. Not just women, women and men who are not elders. But only if they are leading that church biblically. Some would even go as far as to say that only men should preach and teach at all times. But as you know, this is not now our position here at Welcome, which is something that we are in the process of continuing to communicate to you. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:3, but I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. Just because Scripture talks about male leadership, do not think for a minute that man answers to nobody. Oh, if that's how you lead, God have mercy upon you. Because we will all stand before God one day. I want you to know, Paul says, that the head of every man is Christ. He will hold us accountable for whether we are leading biblically, caring biblically for those that he has placed us to love and care and nurture. The head of a wife is her husband. And I want you to notice that. We'll delve into that next time. The head of the wife is the husband. And the head of Christ is God. Now, what Scripture does not say is that women are to be subordinate to all men generally in life. That is not what it says. But it has been the case throughout time, and it has been a shocking abuse of God's word. Women have every right to own their own businesses, to run as CEOs in the biggest companies in the world, to play sports at top level, whether with men or on their own, it doesn't matter. They have every right to do that. Women have every right to earn the same wage as a man. And it is something that we are to fight for. Absolutely, they have every right to earn the same wage as a man. And if they want to, they can absolutely run for prime minister. Whatever it is you can think of in your head that you think women should run for outside of leadership in the marriage and the church, absolutely. And we should be encouraging that and standing with them in that. But this whole area has been so abused over the years. It doesn't mean that a woman can't lead their family, particularly when the man isn't present or is not fulfilling his godly responsibility. Just because you may be married, it doesn't mean that that gives you free rein, or your husband to free rein to lead the family in any which way he wants. But we'll speak more about that next month. What life must have been like for Adam and Eve living together harmoniously before the fall. Wonderful, beautiful picture. Loving and worshipping the Lord, tending and stewarding this beautiful creation in peace and in harmony. But the fall of humanity changed all of that. When Adam and Eve, irrespective of the details, together disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit, causing sinful, selfish, and egotistical attitudes to give birth in the human heart, of which we are still suffering today. This perfect Eden, this perfect humanity became corrupt, resulting in the tragic downfall of this harmonious relationship in marriage, in our families, and later even in the church. A culture where men still domineer and men still belittle women, thinking them lesser than them. Still happens. But where women also still clamber for power and dominance over men. That also still happens. And we'll delve into this and where it originated from next month. We see the effects of the fall in the heartbreaking reality. And it really is heartbreaking that some men and women are unable to take part in the creation of life and have their own children, as was originally the case. These are all effects of the fall. We even see its effects in our confused culture, where some men believe they can give birth, and they are trying to. Where same-sex relationship and marriages are on the rise, where boys and girls are having sex changes and are being encouraged to have sex changes. Walking around in the opposite sex's clothes because they're just confused in their identity. But instead of being supported and helped, culture is just encouraging them. Friends, we really do live in a land of confusion. A land of confusion where humans have strayed so far away from God's original plan. Yes, as Jesus' church, we are called to share God's truth and God's right living with people. But at the same time, if there was ever a time where grace and compassion and understanding is called for, it's now. Too often the church has just pointed fingers. Too often people have come to a church door who may be in those categories and have been turned away because of their sin. How the hell are we supposed to reach people with the gospel if we don't at the very beginning show compassion and understanding and grace? Forget the gospel if you can't start there. Now, it doesn't mean, like I said, we still got to share the truth. We're not going to belittle, you know, we're not going to water that down. But there's a way of doing it that opens the ears of these people. We should never be a people who stand on the sidelines pointing fingers, because, friends, we too are and have been sinners ourselves. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. But we are to come alongside those who are confused in our culture. In the love of God, share with them the hope only found in Jesus. The very person who came and died on that cross because of the lostness of humanity. But it was through this remarkable act, as we know, that all humanity can receive this amazing gift of salvation. This amazing gift of newness of life, of newness of heart, newness of perspective. But it's only through our own repentance and our faith in the Lord, which is where we come into it as God's people. We share the seed. We encourage them with the gospel. But then we trust God to do his part. Because it's only him that can bring the growth. I invite the band up, please. Like I said, it was tricky. I was talking to Jeremy throughout the end of last week. This is a tricky one to do in some respects, because over the next at least 3 or 4 months, we will be delving into man and woman and how this all connects together, probably every month. So we didn't want to do it all in one sitting. Well, you couldn't have done it all in one sitting. But I think today we have just sown the seeds at the start of this journey of looking at man and women and how we relate to each other in different spheres of life and how we can help other men and women in this life. Now, I know that we've touched on some sensitive subjects today, which is, I know, close to some people's hearts. Our intention, I hope you know, for those who are regulars here, is never to upset anyone, but it is our intention to share God's truth to us as a church people in love and in grace. Now, friends, if anything has affected you today, please come and speak to us. Please come and speak to us. You may have people in your own family who are going through some of these aspects that we've looked at. That's hard. Come and speak to us. Let us pray with you. Let us pray for you. The prayer area will be open at the end of the service. Come and receive prayer. Let us walk this journey with you. Let us help you and guide you. As I said, we'll be delving into these topics at more in the coming months. But for now, let us together as God's people rejoice in the truth that God's original plan for man and woman was perfect. And that's the journey that we're on, to reestablish that which once was perfect and that will be perfect once again when Christ comes. We spent all that time last week on that, so I'm not going there now. But it will be perfect when Christ returns. Amen. So let us keep working together as God always intended. Let us support each other on this journey of faith in Christ's name and in the power and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 Should we worship?